It's Wednesday, and you know what that means. The Full Press Hockey Weekly show is back. No, not the wrestling show, but it is Wednesday, and it is, you know what that means normally. Yes, Dynamite's on later, but that's another show for another time. But it's the Full Press Hockey Weekly show here. I'm your host, Jim Berenger, the voice of Full Press Hockey. Chris Wassel will be along with us in a few moments. He always seems to get kicked out when this thing starts. But we are back and better than ever here on a Wednesday, coming off a highly successful NHL trade deadline show and the show leading up to that. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, Murray, for coming on Friday. NHL trade deadline is in the books, of course, and go check out the articles up on fullpresshockey.com for myself and looking at the winners and losers, something I would like to discuss with Chris real quick tonight as we go through it. You know, looking at teams like the Rangers, the Bruins, the Devils, and so on and so forth. And on the flip side of things, also we'll get into some things about, you know, the hot topic seems to be Tampa Bay and, you know, are they done? The overreaction, you know, what happened? 5-game skid. And also talk the Flames, playoff races, so on and so forth. But, you know, off the top, like I said, the NHL trade deadline come and gone on Friday. You know, it was a slow day. Not too many trades. I mean, we had some trades announced on the show. But all in all, a lot of minor trades going on Friday in regards to the trade deadline. And, you know, one of the big things I looked at is what teams improved and how teams come out of this trade deadline with the new pieces. Hey, everybody. Welcome in, Chris Wassel.
Hey, you know, I just like to drop in randomly. Like Tampa Bay's bagel in a certain second period over the weekend.
We'll talk about that later on. We'll talk about Tampa because...
We'll talk about bagels.
We'll talk about bagels. They were trying to chase the record from 2000 that the Leafs set with 6 shots on goal in a game. But no one seems to have touched it yet. But I say off the top, you know, the NHL trade deadline is come and gone. And, you know, I always like to see how teams perform coming out of the deadline and new pieces that have come in. And, you know, it's easy to say, and like I said, in my article on fullpresshockey.com, yes, shameless plug, but I did say we're going to talk about winners and losers from the trade deadline. It's easy to say the Boston Bruins are the biggest winner, but the problem is they are when all three guys fit into the lineup so well.
It's almost unfair. It's like, okay, you're really good. We get it. But then you add these guys and then you're using really bad grammar. Even more good and downright scary. You sit there, it's like, okay, well, Orlov starts off with, like, what, 7 points in 4 games? I mean, it just...
Yeah, he got 9 points in 4 games, number one star of the week.
Yeah, like... it just... Hey, right. And yet, it works. I mean, look, they, you know, they've thumped a couple teams along the way. They made some statements. I'm sure Brad Marchand said some things about not going to certain all-star venues in the future. You know, we're having a little fun. You know.
But if you look at what Marchand said,
it was funny.
It's funny, but it's true.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, all right.
It's not rocket science.
Yeah.
It's not really rocket science.
For people that are actually getting mad about this, he's not wrong. I mean, nobody, you know, likes to face this reality, but in the winter, do you really want to go? Does an NHL player want to go to a cold weather climb?
No.
Or even like a chilly weather climb? No, they want to go. They want to go south.
They want to go LA. No. Nope. They want to go Vegas, Nashville, or Florida.
Except for this year, because right, you know, except for this year. It snows in Southern California now.
Oh. Right. Exactly. But. Look, the Bruins, the pieces that they've added, Orlov, Garnet Hathaway, Tyler Bertuzzi. Bertuzzi plays his first game against the Rangers, gets a point. That third line is ridiculous. And that's a great play by them because Taylor Hall's out for as long as he's going to be out, and Foligno's out, and he just fits right in. Orlov, yeah, we're just going to slot him in the top four, get 9 points, 4 games. All right. Hathaway's just the perfect Bruin. No problem. Don Sweeney added depth, and that's what they did. And the Bruins continue to roll 10 straight. Yes, I know our producer is a big Bruins guy, but you know what? When the team is the best, you know what? You have to talk about them because they're having a historic season. And guess what? There's nobody better than the Bruins right now. Nobody. And we lost Chris again. As I said, nobody's better than the Bruins right now. Oh, he's back.
It's when you have to talk
about the best team in the league, I mean, they're the best team for a reason.
Right. And yeah, it doesn't hurt that they have like obscenely ridiculous numbers and all those. Again, this all gets sort of scrubbed to zero come to the playoffs. But honestly, you know, like we said, the only team that is going to probably beat Boston in the playoffs
is Boston.
Is Boston. Because that's what
happens all those years.
That's what happens with these juggernaut teams usually that run roughshod through the regular season. The team that usually beats them is themselves. I mean, obviously Tampa, Columbus. Let's see, Detroit, you know, those few years where they were really on a ridiculous run and they just ran into whatever. I mean, it's, could it happen? Yeah. Right now, is it likely?
No.
No, because we just don't know. I mean, people are asking, well, which team could give Boston trouble? And it's like,
nobody.
Right now, nobody by themselves. I mean, anything can happen. Great example of this. Not hockey, but still an excellent example of, you know, something where it's like, okay, this should happen. You know, we're going to get to the finish line. Watch the NASCAR race Sunday. Kyle Larson is cruising along. He's going to win the race on Sunday. He's going to win the Penske 400 by at least 3 seconds. Four laps to go. Spin out in turn four. There goes a Ford spinning around. Caution comes out. Has to pit. Wouldn't you know it, even though he pits 2.25 seconds ahead of his teammate, William Byron comes out of the pits first, holds off everybody, wins the race. Look, it's not that Kyle Larson had a slower car. It's just something happened where they beat themselves. That's it. Again, you don't know who or how. It's sort of just oops. It's something that can't always be explained.
No, it can't be explained. I mean, look, you know, we've seen it, Jersey's teams in the late 90s before they won cups and everything. Right. But this team's faced adversity. They've seen it all. You know, Omar could be the biggest question mark. He's going to be fine come the playoffs. But Boston's the only team that really can beat themselves. Looking at other winners across the board, you could say New Jersey getting, you know, filling needs with Meyer and Lazar. You could throw the Rangers in there, obviously, because they got the biggest names with, you know, Tarasenko and Patrick Kane and guys like that. You could throw in, you know, the Islanders for what they did with Horvat, Minnesota for what they did, Ottawa for how they were able to get Jacob Chychrun. And the list goes on. I mean, you can throw even Carolina in there to me.
Yeah, I do like what Caroline did, especially with Gustav Bear filling a need. I mean, I know it seems like every time they get a guy like this, he magically does pretty well.
Yeah.
I do like Klingberg in Minnesota. It definitely serves a need because I can't believe I'm saying this, Jim. With Matthew Dumba playing actually well over the last 2 to 3 weeks, I don't know how long that will continue. No one does. We don't. Again, these are like things out of the X-Files. If Minnesota can manage to score a few goals, even though the Vegas says no. Interestingly, they are the Western Conference Islanders basically at this point.
It seems like it. It feels like they play 2-1 hockey, one goal games every night.
Six straight unders and 8 of the last 9, by the way, for the team under. They are the new version of the Islanders.
I'm banking on one tonight.
So again, these, you know, these, look, these are the handful of winners there. I still,
you can throw Toronto in there too, because they filled a bunch of needs with the O'Reilly trade, with the Acharis bringing in a Jake McCabe, Sam Lafferty. You know, you have Luke Shen and Gustafson, and they've shored up areas that they needed because, well, let's face it, those are the areas that's really cost them in the playoffs. Obviously, certain guys not stepping up, you know, doesn't help either. But Toronto has a lot of variety now. Is it too much variety? Did they change it too much? We're going to find out. But right now, it doesn't look like it.
It seems, you know, it's working.
It seems to be working. And, you know, Shen's still on Vancouver with, you know, with his wife. He didn't come back east yet. You know, when these guys get assimilated fully, you know, they're going to be a tough out. And you never know. And I think, you know, those are teams that you really look at as winners because they – you know, it's sad to say, but every one of them, pretty much outside of Minnesota, it's all from the Eastern Conference because it's a juggernaut.
Yeah, this is the arms race of arms races. Now, of course, hey, we're not going to have 8 teams with 100 points or more this year. Okay, so we're going to have like 6, but those 6 teams, any one of those could win the Stanley Cup.
Right, Jeez. Obviously. I mean, look, you know, the 6 teams in the East right now, you know, you got the Carolinas, the Boston, Toronto, Tampa, New Jersey, Rangers right now. Can win. I mean, I'm not saying other teams in the wild card position can't win. I'm not saying they can't make a deep run. It's going to be tough, though. Obviously, you have winners, and then there's losers. And to me, you know, a couple of big losers, Calgary, Florida, Vancouver, and Colorado, and various reasons. To me, Vancouver should have done more than they did. Yeah, I understand you got rid of Horvat. You got rid of Shen. Okay, you traded those guys away. That's great. You have another guy that people wanted was Brock Besser. I know JT Miller's name was out there later on in the week, later on that day. You know, they just couldn't close stuff. They should have moved Besser, and I think it would have been a successful trade deadline. I think they needed to be more active than they did. Calgary and Florida could throw in the same thing because, yes, I know Calgary's won 2 games in a row. We're going to talk about them later. But standing pat and not having a plan or bringing in guys that you think you need or selling off assets like Nashville did, like Washington, St. Louis did, you know, I'm just not sure. You're just saying to me, you know, standing pat's good enough. I'm not sure with those 2 teams it was good enough because they're mirror images of each other this year.
Yeah, it's a considerable problem. I mean, look. Florida was in the ultimate catch 22. You know, are they really good enough to make the playoffs? Again, that's like, you could have a 2-hour podcast just on whether or not Florida is good enough to make the playoffs right now. And you could list enough good pros and cons to literally fill an entire laundry hamper. It's right. That bad. It's that crazy. You know, the problem is, they just didn't really do anything. They thought they're banking on the idea that keeping the band together. Oh God, I feel like I'm having a Pittsburgh deja vu moment. No, is enough to make this work. And you know, you argue Pittsburgh's kind of the same way. And at times it works, and at times it, you know, it
doesn't
weird.
Work.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is like the oddball because it's like they'll reel off like 5-6 or 6-7, and you'll think, wait, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, here we go, we're gonna lose 4 or 5, and then we're gonna, like, you know, start questioning everything and everyone. And unfortunately,
but if you look at Pittsburgh, and not to cut you off there, but you know, they add Bonino, and you know, they make, you know, that was a move they made, and I still think they should have addressed their goaltending. You know what, you're down 4-0 to Columbus. That game should have been over. They because it's Columbus.
It's Columbus.
Still, am I confident enough this team's going to win a playoff round? They haven't won one since 2018. And it just doesn't look like that. It's just something is missing. And I think if they could have gotten that goalie, I think I would have had a little bit more confidence in them.
They, at the very least, needed a stabilizing influence in goal.
Right.
They need somebody to stay healthy.
Right, exactly. I mean, look, Casey DeSmith to me is not the answer. You know, Columbus is bad enough where you can come back and 4-0, but even still, you know,
why is this doing this?
It's just so crazy. You know, it's just so crazy with, you know, with Pittsburgh, what they did on Tuesday night, down 4-0, come back, Crosby gets the OT winner to stay alive. But, you know, and I also mentioned Colorado as a loser. You know, we all know it seems like Gabriel Landeskog is going to be LTIR. Yeah, he's skating, as we, as our buddy Brandon Voigt shows us, covering the Avalanche for Full Press NHL, Full Press Hockey out there. But to me, that's a missed opportunity to add a second-line center, because there were guys out there that could have helped this team succeed, especially down the stretch, and give them that touch that they didn't have, because Nazem Kadri's in Calgary, and, you know, they're missing Naz so bad right now in Colorado. You know, Gorgiev's playing well. They're right there, but it seems like they're teetering on, is it panic time? Can they make it? Can they get in? You know, Central is just so, so tough in the Western Conference. And if you look at it, you know, they're playing a lot better, 7-2-1 over the last 10. But, you know, Winnipeg's right there. Calgary's charging. What about Nashville, Minnesota? Like, all these teams are just bottled together. So I think it was a missed opportunity to put them on LTIR. Hey, say, you know what? And, you know, the moves that they made with Ehlers, Brandon points out, you know, Jack Johnson coming back. Okay, those are great moves. Those are depth moves. But it's those. That's not the move they needed to make, because they don't have a second-line center. And that's just my opinion. And I'm not around the team all the time. But I think it's just a missed opportunity to fill a position of need with Colorado. Then there's Tampa Bay, our friends down south, the Lightning, three-time defending Eastern Conference champions, two-time Stanley Cup champions over the last couple of years. Sky's falling in Tampa. Is it, though? Is the sky really falling? Because to me, as I put out Sunday after they lost 5-0, are we going to overreact to them losing 5 straight, not a lot of shots on goal? As Chris says in the private chat, here he's back. They seem to do this every year, and you're right. And before we get you, I want to get your thoughts on that, but I also want to say, do you agree that it was a missed opportunity by Colorado at the trade deadline not to fill the need at second line center?
Colorado had a couple easy chances to get a 2C. It wouldn't have hurt. It's not going to kill them. I mean, look, we talked about this. You know, get that second center acclimated. Is he going to play with Gabriel Landeskog? Maybe in April. But that doesn't matter. You could get somebody for pretty cheap. And look, Lars Eller at this stage of the game, not the answer. Nice enough bottom six forward. But we're talking bottom six now.
Right, exactly. Very bottom six.
Doesn't have the wheels really to play with Colorado. I mean, look, we saw what happened last night with 2/3 of a Colorado lineup that was motivated against San Jose.
But again, it's San Jose.
I understand that. But you could see it's like it's there. But it's still, even then, even at 6-0, it's like something was missing.
Right, but again, Colorado did their job and beat a bad team, and that's what they need to do to get in the playoffs.
Right.
You have to beat bad teams to get in, because those 2 points are crucial. But like I said, missing an opportunity because, yeah, Jack Johnson, I get it. But the price is expensive, probably. But again, our opinion, missed opportunity. Like I said, Tampa, look, they do it every year. Am I going to... The sky's falling, overreact to the Tampa Bay Lightning losing 5 straight. You know, it's a little concerning for a team that's in third place in the Atlantic. But like I said, are we going to overreact and say this team can't win a playoff round? No. Yeah, they had 0 shots on goal in a period against Carolina. Folks, when a team plays as much hockey as the Tampa Bay Lightning have played over the last 3 years, and I understand there have been breaks with COVID and shortened season and this and that, it takes a toll on the body. That is why it is so amazing what the Islanders did in the 80s, going to 5 straight Stanley Cup finals. I know the schedules are different. I know there were less teams. It still takes a toll on your body. These guys are well-oiled machines, but even these guys break down, and you can see it. Not to mention a certain guy, I believe, wore 27 for this team, is not there anymore. He was a rock-solid defenseman that blocked a lot of shots, took up a lot of minutes, and is in Nashville because he was a cap casualty. Ryan McDonagh's loss is bigger than people think it is. And you can, and Jan Ruda too, because those two guys were big time pieces to those championship teams.
Right. I mean, look, we say it ad nauseum, you know, defense wins championships. It may not win it in a glamorous way, but without that, you're not going to lift the Stanley Cup. And lose those pieces, it makes it more difficult. It also makes it more difficult when you have other defensemen on your team that are now out with injuries themselves. I mean, yes, Eric Sorenak did come back, but Victor Hedman has not. And that's a bit troubling at this point, because for a while we didn't even know what was going on, just knew he was out.
Right.
So,
I mean, look, to me, Tampa's fine. I think they're going to be on the road against Toronto. I think the gap's too wide right now for them to get home ice. But they still have the best goalie in the world, and they know how to turn it on. Now, they've adjusted the style of play that they've had over the last couple of years, and you could see it last year. They were playing more defensive-minded and working on turnovers and not driving the play as much as they used to in the first two runs to the Stanley Cup final.
Yep.
But I'm not concerned about Tampa Bay whatsoever. Like, I'm just not, because they're still in a playoff spot, securely in a playoff spot. And when you have Stamkos, when you have Kucherov, Point, you have Hedman on the back end when he comes back. Oh, and by the way, you have Andrei Vasilevsky. Until somebody beats this team in the playoffs, yeah, Colorado did last year in the final, no one's beat him in the East yet for 3 years. So until somebody does that, you know, when they get in the playoffs, how you not pick against Tampa? We have some technical difficulties on Chris's end tonight. Unfortunately, he's bouncing in and out. But, you know, again, I want to get his thoughts. Like I said, you betting against Tampa in the Eastern Conference playoff start?
No. And I'll tell you why. I can't. No matter how much you kind of want to at this point, the thought is tempting. It's Toronto.
Right.
I mean, you have to show some, you have to show an ability to get over the hump. It's been only 2 decades. I mean, I understand they've done everything they possibly can. It's up to the players at this point. It just is. And it's like, you know what? We could talk about it till we're dead. And it's going to just keep bouncing.
And bouncing, and bouncing, and bouncing. We can talk about it till we're blue in the face. Is it a great opportunity for Toronto this year? Yes. As Braden points out, the pressure's on Toronto because this is the best opportunity outside of playing Montreal and when they had the divisionals set up the way they did. But the pressure's on Toronto. This is their best opportunity this year. And it's crazy to think that they could do it, but the problem is if Vasilevsky stands on his head for 4 games, the series is still over, even if they light him up for 3. But the opportunity is there because I think Tampa defensively is more vulnerable than they've been.
Yep.
Now, that doesn't mean they just don't turn it on in the playoffs. They can. But, you know, the opportunity is there for Toronto.
The key for Toronto in that series is going to be up the middle.
Yeah.
They absolutely have to throttle Tampa when it counts. Now, they did that last year pretty well. Except for Game 7. The first 6 games of that series, they did exactly what you needed to do to beat Tampa Bay. And it still wound up being split 3-3 going into a game seven.
And they were up in games, and they were up in game six, and it went to overtime.
Right. So they had chances. It's just, can you seal it? That's it. It's, you know, this is put up or shut up. You either do it
or you don't.
Or you don't.
And that's a great segue into the next topic here, because we're talking about the Calgary Flames. Seems like everybody writing up the right off the Flames on Monday after pitiful performances. And I'll be one to say, you know, this team this year has not played consistently well enough to be in the playoff mix, but they still are in the Western Conference. Considering, you know, the wild card spots are pretty much in range because one of those central teams may drop out. Jacob Markstrom's starting to look like the guy that he was before the Edmonton series. If he can continue to do that, the Flames are going to be trouble. But can they do it consistently? Got back-to-back divisional wins against two very good teams. Minnesota especially, because Minnesota just beat them the other night 3-0 in their own barn. And to get a 1-0 shutout and a shootout, that's big. Yeah, you give up a point to Minnesota, but the night before you didn't give up any points to Dallas. So,
you survived.
You survived. The problem is for me, I think the gap is too wide in the Pacific to get in, and they're going to have to knock out one of those central teams to do it.
It's going to be tough. I mean, yeah, their schedule doesn't set up well either. And that's been a kind of a talking point going through this. All right. So, using basic hockey math, as we like to call it, Calgary only has 17 games left, which doesn't sound like a big deal. But if you look up there, there's 7 points looking up at Edmonton right now. Then you're still another 4 points to Winnipeg, who, by the way, has a game in hand on. You know, Colorado, that ship has sailed. Obviously, Minnesota, probably not catching them either at this point. Again, it's the too many teams to hop theory. You're either in that final spot or
you're not.
Or bust, basically. The other problem for Calgary arguably is, and you know, we talked about this, look at the last 10 games. Dead straight 500.
Not good enough.
And it seems like that's the thing. I mean, look, you've got to believe 95 points probably gets you in the playoffs at this point.
In the West? Absolutely.
That's almost like a minimum based on what we've seen. I know you can go through Money Puck and you go through all the projections. Just go to the Chris Wassel Eliminator because it gets it right. And it's not just because I'm putting my name on it. It's just one of those things. It's like you see the trend. This is what needs to happen for Calgary to make it, and it's a tall order, even for them to get the 95 points. Jim, they have to rack up 24 points.
That's tough, man.
Do you honestly think they can go 11-4-2? And arguably they may need a few more ties along the way too.
I think they're going to need a few more wins and wins in regulation.
That's the big problem. They could get the 93, 94 points and not have the regulation wins because of all those ties.
It's a tough uphill climb. Nazem Kadri's been great in there. Huberdeau's been, he's starting to come around.
They're starting to come around, but was it,
But I think it's too little too late because they needed to start doing this a month ago.
At least
a month ago. They haven't been able to put it together. Maybe it's a one-off and it's like, okay, new pieces come in. It's not fantasy hockey. We could just like do whatever. And maybe next year is when it all clicks. Who knows?
Maybe. I mean, to be fair, look, the next few games are winnable. I mean,
that doesn't mean they can win them.
But that's the other issue. Can this team hold? Look, even against Dallas, they were up 2 goals and it happened again. Yes.
Right.
I get it. I understand they won in regulation. I understand that. They did manage to pick themselves off the mat and win. But Can you trust them to hold a lead?
And it was late. That was a, that was what Toffoli with 6 seconds left won the game.
6 seconds left in regulation. So I mean, you don't know, and they're going to be playing. I mean, it feels like, if you look at the schedule over the next month, it feels like I'm like a washing cycle where it's just like you see the same few teams over and over and over again.
Look, Calgary, yeah, they have
that might be one good thing for them.
They have Anaheim next. They have Anaheim next. But Ottawa comes in after that. That's no easy out.
Ottawa's another one. You don't know what you're getting. Well, unless they play Chicago, then you know it's a loss. But
right. But look, you look at Arizona, Vegas, Dallas again, L.A., Anaheim, Vegas, San Jose, L.A.
See, it's like a washing machine. It really is. It really is.
Like, I mean, they play the same teams. And that Winnipeg game in the middle, coming out of Chicago, going to Winnipeg mm-hmm. after you play on a back-to-back in April, that yep. can determine a lot.
Yeah. For those that don't know, Calgary plays 3 games and 4 nights as April starts. Ooh. I don't care if it's Anaheim, Chicago, and Winnipeg. That's dangerous right there for a team that literally has zero, almost negative margin for error at this point.
They have negative margin for error. They have no room for error. Calgary needs to win games. It's like that Jersey run when they first made it in 88. They did a great thing, but then they had that other, you know, when John McLean left and Lemaire took over, they had to make another run. They came up short because they started it too late.
Yep.
I think we're going to see that with Calgary. I think Winnipeg finds a way to turn it around, and I don't know if they get in. Now, they've picked up 4 points in 2 games. Let's see if they can beat Anaheim. You got 6 points, but again, they don't have a game in hand.
Next 3 games, they probably have to take at least 5 out of 6 points.
They have to send that Ottawa game has to go to overtime. You have to figure out a way to do it.
All right, got to answer the elephant in the room question, because I've heard this about 10 different ways over the last couple months. Any Same chance here. Darryl Sutter is gone? Oh, you bet your rear end.
Rear end, he's gone.
I think he may be gone regardless. Even he may want to go back to farming for a little while again. I mean, it fits in his career pattern at the very least.
It does. I mean, look, there's still a long way to go, but
yeah,
the runway for this Flames team is getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and you know, I may be a Devils fan, but I can watch hockey and analyze it, and I understand what I've seen from the beginning of this year for this team. And the fact of the matter is they have been too inconsistent, like we said with the Florida Panthers, too inconsistent. And the way the West is, you know, Central jockeying for position, they're not catching the Oilers. You know, because Seattle, LA, Vegas are locked in. They're not catching Edmonton. So it's one of those central teams, because Chicago and Chicago, Colorado and Winnipeg can flip-flop.
And they even have to look behind them to a point. I mean,
I don't think Nashville's making the playoffs, but still.
They could take a couple points away where Calgary could use those.
Right, exactly. That's what's going on with Calgary in the Western Conference. The Eastern Conference, as we said before, you know,
it's fun.
It's a gauntlet right now. It really, really is. And you know, Ottawa had a bad loss against Chicago. That's just a bad loss. You can't have losses like that. Now we've seen the Islanders rebound from bad losses. Vancouver, Montreal. You can't have those type of losses. But they seem to be in the driver's seat with this thing here in the East. And it feels like they may be getting in, because the way they're playing, granted, they've played the most games, you know, 66 games played. You know, the teams behind them have games in hand. those teams are not winning those games in hand. And when they have a plus 12 goal differential, it seems like the Islanders' chances are getting better and better to make the playoffs. Where I look, man, you know, Pittsburgh, like I said before, am I confident?
Jim, is my plus 325 going to actually time right and hit? Because, I mean, that literally was like there for like about 24 hours.
I think so.
I think that was on DraftKings and Sports Interaction for all. I can't even say 12 hours. I think it was less than that even. And then it just dropped. And then it went off. And then when it came back, it was like plus 150. And I'm like, ooh, I think I got something here. And it took a shot. And the reason why was because of the teams behind the Islanders.
Confidence in Pittsburgh. Nah, we've talked about them on the trade deadline. You know, we said, you know, do we really believe that they have the goaltending to do something here? They haven't won a playoff series since 2018. You know, Florida, again, they're like the Calgary Flames of the Eastern Conference. So inconsistent, but Bobrovsky's getting hot at the right time. Can they pull off some wins? They're going to have to get it together, but they got a tough schedule. They got a murderer's row schedule like the Flames do. It's kind of funny how these teams are mirror images of each other. I mean, you think about it, you look at their schedule. I mean, you know, you play Chicago, Winnipeg, I mean, back to back. Then you got Montreal, Jersey. You got in there Toronto, the Rangers, you know, Ottawa. These are some big divisional games for this team. I mean, you know, it's not going to be easy for them to get in whatsoever. You know, Buffalo's right behind them. They've given up some games that they probably shouldn't have given up. Columbus and along the way, you know, Edmonton, you know, Connor McDavid put the team on his back. But last night against the Islanders, you need to get a point there. They got a tough schedule ahead with Dallas and the Rangers, Toronto in there. Not going to be easy for them. And it's just, you just look at it and you're just like, is the Metro going to get five teams in? Can the Senators get something going? I mean, Cam Talbot's out. That's going to hurt them. You know, Augustus has been playing out in Minnesota. You kind of wish you kept him. Now, feels like you're playing, and then there's Washington still kicking the can. But I feel like that gap's too many teams to pass, too much inconsistent hockey. Defense isn't good enough, though. Rasmus Sandin has 5 points in two games, so that you know, he was a great addition. But it just feels like, it feels like it's Ottawa, Florida, Pittsburgh for the final spot in the East. I don't know.
Yeah, Buffalo, it's kind of a shame that they have three goaltenders. And unfortunately, the one guy you want to root for, or the most experienced, is almost 42 years old.
Exactly.
He's probably arguably their best goaltender at this point. And he can't play every night. He just can't. He flat out even said it. He's like, you know, like, I could try, but it's just not going to happen. And it shows when they try to play him like more than one, you know, twice a week, it just goes horribly bad.
Exactly.
And it makes it rough for, you know, what's an uphill climb for an up and coming team. Didn't help that, of course, Alex Tuck getting injured either.
No, that's a huge loss for the Sabres. I mean,
look, Tuck is such an engine. How much does Vegas wish they had Tuck right now?
Oh, they wish they kept him.
Yeah, you have to say for what it is. Tuck is an unbelievably talented forward that just creates.
And he fits so well in Donny Granato's system.
He does, and that's the key. That is the key with Buffalo's system. You see the pieces. You see the things starting to come together. It really for them comes down to, can their bottom four defensemen come together next year? And can they find one goaltender to start 50 games? That's really what it comes down to.
Consistently and play well every week. Because, yeah, they're playing meaningful games like the Senators are playing meaningful games. But they're not getting consistently. And like I said, you kind of wish the Senators didn't trade Philip Gustafson because they could use him because Cam Talbot, again, with the injury ninja. It's just, you're going to rely on Solgaard now, and you get that. This, because the way Talbot had been playing,
he started to bounce back finally.
He bounced back. He had a great game against the Rangers. Comes home, they have another great game. And you're just like, man, if he can keep it together, the way the Senators team, you feel confident enough that they can get in. You never say never, because we saw it with the Hamburglar. But I don't know.
It's getting late fast.
Yeah, it is. It's getting late fast, right? I don't know if Solgaard can be the guy. I don't know. But Chychrun's been a great addition. But they just fell flat against Chicago. And you can't have that kind of performance if you want to make the playoffs, especially with a team like Florida ahead of you. Maybe Pittsburgh does get in because the teams behind them just fall off.
I think Pittsburgh's okay. It'll be touch and go for a good while, but ultimately they're going to get in.
I heard this today. They have 11 games remaining on home ice.
Yep.
I think that's
just enough of a recipe to get in.
I think so too. I think it is. So we may be getting 5 teams from the Metro Division. Who knows? I mean, look, it's very, very – every game – like, you guys want to talk about – you know, everybody wants to talk about expanding playoffs and playing around. You had a play-in game yesterday against Buffalo and Islanders. You're getting play-in hockey right now with the teams battling for this wild card spot.
This is your play-in round, basically, for the next, 5 weeks?
Right, next 5 weeks is play-in round.
Why do you think when we were younger, why do you think like when the infancy of things like center ice, you know, back in the early
loved
days,
it,
why
man.
Do you think
that, weeks, that,
last,
man.
That last month was like $20 and it was like the dash to the playoffs. They showed every stinking game, even if some of them were in jumbo vision, it didn't matter.
$20, you would always pay the $20 because you got the last month and the playoffs for $20. You couldn't beat it.
And people forget that back then, the first round or two was mixed on center ice. So
it was.
You would get lucky. You would get probably feeds that you were not accustomed to getting normally.
You know, Canadian feed. That was the best.
Whew. I'm not going to lie. It's good stuff. It's why I subscribe to the things I do now. It's like, yeah, it costs more. But you know what? I have that option to get, you know, different feeds.
The better feed? You mean the better feed?
Yeah. Absolutely. Not going to lie.
Nope. Not going to lie.
It.
But it's crazy. It's crazy. It's so crazy that we are getting closer and closer to the end of the regular season. Trade deadlines passed. Teams are positioning themselves for the playoffs. The top teams are the top teams. Devils are in striking distance of maybe catching Carolina. Who knows? But I will say, I can't wait for this stretch run. And, of course, we'll be with you along the way, as we always are.
Always.
Here at Full Press Weekly Show. Also, don't forget to check out our podcasts as well. We've got a bunch of them. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in here on a Wednesday. Roll through these things quick. Chris Wassel saying bye-bye. Jim Berninger, your host, the voice of Full Press Hockey. Check us out, fullpresshockey.com, Full Press NHL on Twitter, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get. Just find us. We're everywhere. Like the Johnny Cash song, we're everywhere. Check us out on the radio. You know, who knows where we'll appear. But, again, that's Chris Wassel, Jim Berninger, Ian behind the scenes. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Catch you again next week.